The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's NXT review for August 25th, or 24th, 23rd, one of those dates, actually the 23rd, 2017. I try to give you the date that we are going to be doing, probably this will be on the available on the download. It'll be available on the 25th, but guess what? We actually are talking about the episode that happened on the 23rd. And of course, you know, to find all our great content, just to let you guys know, once again, W2Mnet.com. It's easy as pie. Just go over there and search out all the great content that we have to offer to the W2M Network. Also, man, you know, maybe you want to rate, subscribe, and review. Yeah, that's right. Something else we all like to always encourage. Yeah, go do that on Apple Podcast or YouTube or wherever you get the podcast from. Make sure you go ahead and do all that great stuff, because not only does it help us, but it also makes it easy for you. You don't even have to worry about the next time our NXT review comes out or what date it is. All you know is it's there and it's ready to listen to. So if you subscribe, it's just simple. So, of course, I am Gary Vaughn, and along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser, your host.
Heyo.
And Paul, just to let everybody also know, 411mania.com, thank you those guys for supporting us and having them on their site. Also, Last Word on Sports, those guys are awesome as well. So just want to make sure we get those shout-outs to those guys. You know, we thank them for all the support that they give us, you know, tonight. Paul, I mean, this is the fallout from NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. And this is getting kind of exciting, because this is an episode that I think they kind of transformed a little bit compared to some of the other ones, if you ask me personally. I think they did a little extra here, but we'll talk about it, and I'm kind of curious if you think the same thing.
There's some interesting stuff going on. It's not as throwaway as I think some of the other stuff has been, but of course you do still have all of the video packages going over NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, which we reviewed here at Wrestling to the Max. There's that review special out there waiting for you guys to listen to wherever we can be found, of course. And the first thing we have to talk about here is they open with No Way Jose coming out. He gets a huge pop from the crowd here in Brooklyn. And then he starts bringing out fans for a conga line, starts bringing them up the rampway. But here comes Lars Sullivan to attack him from behind. Absolutely annihilates him. Didn't get a lot of reaction, but there were some boos near the end. So maybe not a complete waste of time, but clearly Lars Sullivan getting jumped into the mix with No Way Jose is a big step up from what he was doing.
It is a big step, and the reason it is because he was just basically beating up throwaway guys. I hate to say that. The only other terminology would be the classic jobber, right? And, you know, that's not all that inspiring. I mean, it's kind of funny. It kind of gave him a little bit of a gimmick for a guy that, honestly, if it wasn't for that, all you would know him is that big, huge guy that's kind of scary looking. So there you go. I mean, if we're finally getting something that's actually got some tangible substance to it, he's coming out and attacking a guy that I think a lot of fans enjoy. I mean, No Way Jose's been a guy that I think a lot of the, especially if there's younger NXT fans, they get behind this guy. He's fun, he dances, he has a good time, and Lars Sullivan is taking that away from him by coming out and jumping him. So I think this is actually a feud I'm going to look forward to. I'm kind of excited about this, because I've been waiting for this for a little while now, and Lars Sullivan to me is a guy that has so much more that we haven't seen, and that's another part of the equation for me that just excites me.
Yeah, I mean, seeing what else he can do other than just beating up guys certainly is always something to look forward to once they get past the jobbing or squashing stage. No Way Jose, I think, is a great first matchup, right? He's still a big guy, and he just easily manhandles him here, which is still pretty impressive. So
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing before we move on, I just want to say this. You know, you mentioned the crowd reaction. I don't think the crowd really, you know, we're also talking about a big venue like the Barclays, and I'm sure there's a lot of NXT fans in that building that night. But at the same point, I don't know if they're so over the moon or really just sold on everything that Lars Sullivan brings to the table. He hasn't really brought a lot except squashing guys, so I'm really not concerned about that. And No Way Jose really hasn't been anything that's really of importance either. So we're not talking about No Way Jose coming off some hot feuds and really being this hot superstar babyface. So I think that's why the crowd really was just kind of like, okay, you know.
I mean, you would figure at least with the pop No Way Jose got, they would boo this a bit more than what we really got here. But you're right. I mean, it's not like Lars is this big name yet. But I mean, it's a big dude beating up a crowd favorite. I was expecting a little bit more noise, but you know, c'est la vie, I guess, is what I'm looking for there. Pete Dunne does a promo in the back talking about how he's pretty much the UK brand for WWE really started when he won the championship, and he's taking credit for all the success it's had since he's won the title. He's tagging with Wolfgang tonight to take on Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, better known as Mustache Mountain, for those of you keeping up with that scene over there. Wolfgang wants a title match. He's waiting for his turn. He's waited patiently. And Dunn just wants him to stay focused on the business at hand later on this evening. And that brings us to our women's match for the show as Peyton Royce with Billie Kay takes on Sarah Logan. I thought this was a pretty solid little 4.5-minute occasion here. The crowd is still slow to respond to Sarah Logan, I think. They love them some iconic duo here, though. It's hard to blame them, right? The iconic duo is just great, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, you know, they're money. They really are. And it's funny to say that because, you know, how long has it been, Paul, since they've been a part of NXT? Has it been 2 years? Or longer than that?
I think it's shorter than that, honestly.
I see. It may be shorter. See, and I was being kind of generous, I think, with saying 2 years. But nonetheless, they have been, honestly, a really big, huge part of the women's division for NXT, and it's not all about been winning titles and doing all these other great things that you would expect from people to get reactions like they get, but they're so great together. They feed off each other, and you know, all the stuff that I've talked about in the past, like the entertainment section of their career, which is, you know, showing backstage the locker room and all that, but then when they get in the ring and they interact, you know, one's wrestling, one's not, they bring so much to the table. So I think that's what part of the reason why the fans just love them and they really enjoy them. And I think it was great that they gave Sarah Logan this opportunity to get in the ring and just really spend a little bit longer time than I ever thought that they were going to give her. Mm-hmm. So the match ended up being better than I expected. Not a blowaway match. It's kind of your normal match, but still, I think it was something that was solid. I don't think that they threw away something here just because it was kind of the pre-show to Brooklyn. At least it was something that was, you know, decent here.
Yeah. So to answer the first thing, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay have been on NXT for a little bit over 2 years. Billie Kay, at least she debuted in June of 2015 on TV, so there's that. And I agree with you here. I think Sarah Logan got to show off a little bit more than the last time we got to see her in the ring with Peyton Royce. And I mean, Royce and Billie Kay have, I think, got their act down so far, Pat, that they can really just go out there and do anything, and they're going to get a reaction one way or the other. So I think that's the benefit with them right now. Maybe still need a little bit of tightening up inside the ropes, but that'll just come with more matches and more time and all that other fun stuff, so...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, two ladies that honestly both are great in the ring. They know wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that isn't like, but the charisma that they offer and the fact that when we talked on our review show about TakeOver Brooklyn 3, we were joking, but honestly, when they showed that scene of Kurt Angle and Daniel Bryan in the booth, and they had the NXT stars talking to him, who do we really laugh at and pay attention to? It definitely wasn't Roderick Strong. Mm-hmm. It was them. going back and forth with Daniel Bryan. So, and you couldn't hear what they were saying. You just saw facial reactions. So that's what I'm saying. I think that they get that exposure and people are paying attention to them over even some of the bigger stars.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a really fun act, right? And that's really what's important, I think. We get a Bobby Roode interview who talks about his debut on SmackDown, and just because he's there doesn't mean he's done with NXT yet, because he still has to finish his business with Roderick Strong, which is all well and good. And that brings us to our main event, where Pete Dunne and Wolfgang team up to take on Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, better known as Mustache Mountain. And if you're a Progress fan, you know Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate are in a stable together called British Strong Style, where they pretty much run the show over there. I thought this was super fun. Dunn and Bate and Seven and Wolfgang here all put on a really, really fun match. And even Wolfgang didn't have all that much interaction until you get to the end, where he blind tags in. Tyler Bate hits the Tyler Driver 97 on Dunn, and Wolfgang flies off the top rope with a senton to crush Bate and get the victory. So build up here really for what appears to be our next UK championship match between Dunn and Wolfgang, which should be really fun, I think.
Well, I think so, too. It'll be a good match. Pete Dunn is just such an amazing wrestler. He offers so much, and I think he's one of the best guys to really honestly hold that UK title. I think a match between UK with against Wolfgang is fine. I think a match with him, you know, and Tyler Bate again in the near future would not be a bad idea either. Because, my God, just in this tag match alone, him and Bate just started where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, those guys just to me are just too good at sometimes. But you know, overall, I think, you know, what you got here was a little piece of what they should be giving us more often, and that's these UK guys who have super amounts of talent who can just really honestly showcase some of the best wrestling that the NXT could have to offer if they would just put them on the shows more often. But you get it. I mean, their place is the UK. They're there to represent for the UK here to these special occasions, but I wish we got them more often. I guess I'm a little greedy, if you'll call it that.
I'd love to see them more often too, but every time they show up, it always is like this huge breath of fresh air, and I think that really plays to their advantage too. Whenever they came out for the match, the crowd was nuts for at least Bate and Dunn got a ginormous pop, if you ask me. And you know, Wolfgang and Seven, they got their cheers there too, but I mean, really, Bate and Dunn after that match at TakeOver earlier this year are basically made as far as NXT goes. But you're right, I'd love to see them more often, but when they do come, it always just feels fresh, and that's something I really appreciate about this whole situation, really, with the UK brand.
Same here. And, you know, we really don't know if there'll be a show in the near future for the UK. I honestly think that they need to find more of these opportunities. I'm not saying do it all the time, because we already know that they've got enough talent in NXT on the reg. I mean, really, mm-hmm. Let's be honest. I mean, we talk about this all the time. So adding the UK guys will be a little bit more difficult because the card is kind of full. I'm just saying sprinkle them in here, sprinkle them in there. That way that we still have them on our mind until they finally do make a UK show take place or do something more different with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think that, you know, it helps people keep in mind that those guys are still around.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's what I think NXT's sort of doing for these guys right now, is that they're still a thing. We're still promoting them. We still want them to be a part of our shows. We just haven't got to the point where the UK brand, I think, has really taken off or gotten that TV show that we keep hearing about. So that does it for this episode of NXT, but that does not do it for our NXT conversations, because if you have a social media account basically anywhere, or if you go to anything wrestling-related on the internet, you have probably heard from the NXT tapings that took place today that, well, first off, spoiler alert, so if you don't want to be spoiled or anything like that, go ahead and cut this off now, and thanks for listening and all that great jazz, but Asuka has relinquished the championship to William Regal because she is in negotiations with Raw and SmackDown to come up to the main roster and all that great stuff. So I know we talked somewhat about what was going to happen with Asuka on our episode 261 part 1 episode because obviously she hurt her collarbone and she's going to be out for 2 to 3 months, something like that. So that's certainly helpful here. I would not be shocked if that played into the decision here to have her relinquish the championship now. But it's going to be interesting to see where they take the championship. And I mean, Asuka gets to retire the title undefeated now, which is what a lot of people were after. I'm still a fan of putting over the new person on the way out, especially somebody like an Ember Moon who really could have been the next person to, quote-unquote, hold down the division while they build up the rest of the roster. But it's going to be a free game now, Gary. Like, what do you think is going to happen, and what are your thoughts on this entire situation?
I think it's the best option if you're not going to give it to Ember Moon. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because they built Asuka to be what we would say all the time, the Brock Lesnar of NXT, where she comes in now and she wrestles on the bigger shows, and if she wrestles a smaller show, it's, you know, either a squash or it's something that's not super it's important, but it's not the biggest thing on the show. It's mm-hmm. something that just kind of, they really like to save her. And I get that. That makes sense because she is one of your bigger stars. Not only that, you know, that special attraction also, you know, in the ring more often, takes that risk of getting injured. And which did still happen, even though she hadn't wrestled a ton on TV. Mm-hmm. But, you know, saying all that, I think, you know, great option for them, especially if they're done moving on. This gives this, you know, situation that you were talking about for the Mae Young Classic, for whoever wins that classic to come in and be one of the number one contenders for that title. Mm-hmm. And that excites me. And it also excites me for the fact that, in a weird way, whoever does win doesn't have to go up against Asuka, and they beat Asuka, and then it's like, oh, wow, well, you know, this person was not even anywhere close to being around NXT, and all of a sudden now they defeat the biggest champion, the longest reigning NXT women's champion. It got to be a little far-fetched in my mind, to be honest with you. So this makes it easier. This gives it a chance to kind of be maybe a tournament on NXT, give the Mae Young Classic winner, however they want to do it. I just think it ends up being a better situation for the NXT women's title compared to what we would have got if Asuka would have stayed and retained and just had that big match, even though it would have been great probably to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on all of that. There would have been a huge expectation maybe if somebody did defeat Asuka for the championship fair and square. I still think they probably could have built up a feud where somebody or enough people wear her down to where she finally just drops it, and that's all she wrote, really. I'm sure, and like I said, I'm sure the injury played a part in this too, but maybe there was always a line of thinking, or the primary line of thinking here on NXT was always have her drop it after this match with Ember Moon, and move her along at whatever pace they wanted to, whether it would have been this week or next week or next month or however it would have worked out had it not been for a broken collarbone now. But I like the idea of them doing a tournament on NXT and having them face the Mae Young Classic winner for the championship at a takeover, whether that happens to be the one in Houston in November or if they're going to do another one in between now. I'm sure they will, but I really like that idea a whole lot. I think it makes, I mean, granted, you'd be going without a champion for a while, and I'm sure they don't want to do that. But, you know, it'll be really interesting to see where they go from here as far as what they're going to do with that title. And I'm just, the possibilities are very open now, especially with, like we've been talking about the Mae Young Classic a lot. All those girls that have competed in that tournament could possibly show up in one on NXT or however they're going to go about doing this. And we're already getting to that time of year, too, where NXT really starts relying on tournaments to get you through, like the Dusty Rhodes Classic or, mostly that one. But, you know, mm-hmm. you have a whole bunch of other stuff. So maybe they don't do a tournament. Maybe they do, like, a Battle Royal or something. I don't know. I think the possibilities are endless here, and that's what's kind of exciting in this whole scheme of things.
Yeah, and I don't think a vacant title is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, it makes that title more prestigious. I look at it maybe, I'll just kind of relate this to a sports team. Let's just talk about the NFL. Let's talk about, you know, a major quarterback. Let's say Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, you know, one of the biggest superstars in the NFL, championships out the butt. A guy that just exuberates what an NFL quarterback should be. And then when the guy finally retires and walks away from the game, that spot is going to be the most prestigious spot to join up and pick up now because, well, why? Because it's the New England Patriots. It's the team that has been, you know, winning and winning and winning, and whoever goes in there is going to have that pressure. But it's also become very prestigious because of what he's done. Asuka's done the same thing for the women's title. She's left behind now this time of great lineage of greatness and made that title feel special. So now seeing that title not around Asuka's waist and to kind of see it shine, I can't wait till William Regal has got it on a pedestal and holding it there and doing a battle royal, doing a tournament, all these other things to get those women excited about reaching that goal. And then you got that Mae Young Classic going on the other side of this fence. It's just this, I don't know, it's just this moment that I feel like could be very special once we get to the end of those tournaments and things, you know, to kind of reach out who we want to be the two number one contenders for that opportunity. It's to me, they're building to something that could be very special. And maybe some people are saying, Gary, you're being far-fetched on this, but I don't think so. I sometimes I like having that title sitting there just making me wonder who could get it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely like the idea of maybe leaving it vacant for a while you build up the rest of the division, maybe create some new feuds that you can move forward with, and really giving some of these other ladies some time to shine and see what sticks and what doesn't work, and whoever really, I guess, has the most momentum going forward would get the championship. But it's just, I think, a really interesting time to pay attention to the women's division if you're not, if you're only watching this NXT and everything else that's not on the main roster or something like that. So there's so many question marks. That's really, really cool.
And I'm up for question marks. It intrigues me. It makes me want to come back for more. If I knew everything and if it's all easy and peasy, it's easy to want to skip an episode or not pay attention while you're watching an episode. So that's what you got to do. You got to keep putting those question marks out there and keep getting us excited about what we've got going and coming in store for us. I think we talked about a lot of the title itself, but I want to talk about Asuka for a second here. You know, Asuka's been just this main staple of NXT. Triple H has even admitted he wanted her to stay there as long as he could keep her there. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for her to move on, and I think she deserves it. I think it's really, honestly, a great time for her to finally make that next step. But the thing is that it kind of scares me a little bit is the fact that we know whenever Asuka and whoever else we've seen coming from NXT, it's not anything about what you did in NXT. It's now you're starting a fresh new situation. You're not really relying on your NXT credentials. You're relying on whatever you do up there on the main roster. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they at least give her that opportunity to come out looking dangerous, looking strong, and don't put her in situations to where we look at her and say, oh my God, she can't beat Emma, but you know, she was the longest reigning NXT champion. That's what scares me. Do you know where I'm coming from, Paul? Yeah. I just have that worry because, you know, especially people listening to us right now, obviously you're listening to us means you're an NXT fan. You watch the show or you're interested in the show. So I think we're coming from this part of it, looking out from NXT inside the main roster.
You know, usually if you make a lot of noise or if you do something really great in NXT, they like mentioning that up on the main roster. And really the best example of this is Kevin Owens, right, who got called up while he was still NXT champion. He had that big feud with John Cena while he was the U.S. champion, and that really served as a launching pad for him to basically skip the entire mid-card and almost leapfrog right into the main event scene. And it just worked out so well because not only is Kevin Owens such a great talent inside the ring, but he's so very good at promos and all that good stuff. And I mean, I don't want to say he's different enough to where he stuck out, but he kind of is, right? He has a unique look and he does all these other things very well. I think the same can be said for Asuka because they have her come in and lose to Emma. Then what was the entire point of signing her in the first place, right? So mm-hmm. I assume she's going to come in and on whichever brand it is, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, And looking up and down, I feel like it's probably going to end up being Raw just because they need the most help division-wise, if you ask me. While SmackDown continues to sort of ebb and flow through its women's division because they all sort of matter much more as characters over there, and they have that Money in the Bank briefcase floating around, and that scene seems to have a whole lot going for it right now. Raw just is sort of, I don't want to say listless, but it's Alexa Bliss and basically everybody else right now.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all on that.
And the reason why I brought up Kevin Owens is I think Asuka is different enough to where no matter where you put her, she's going to stick out and she's going to really grab fans' attention just by the way she handles herself, right? She has this big extravagant entrance with the kimono, like the essentially jacket kimono, the mask and everything. She has great music, obviously, but you know, when she gets in the ring, she is a much more violent wrestler than I think anybody in the WWE's women's division in either show really has right now, right? Hard kicks, really brings that style from Japan that's basically, you know, her background, and just put it here and sort of lightened it up a little bit. But you know, nobody in any women's division on WWE is doing what she's doing right now. And that's what's going to really help her stick out is all the kicks and all the submissions and just really how vicious she is in the ring. And I think that's just going to carry over perfectly no matter where she goes.
You know, so, okay, let's say you said Raw. Okay, so did she come in like Bobby Roode this past week where it looks like kind of like a gray area but still kind of babyface-ish, or did she come in as a heel?
I guess that depends really on what they want to do with Sasha, right? Because Alexa obviously still has a rematch, and there's Nia over there. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Asuka shows up after the injury's done and she's ready to come back to TV if she's automatically put into a women's title match, no matter where she goes. Just because she has the pedigree, she left NXT undefeated, she left the championship behind, she never lost as champion, so why not give her the title match when she comes up? And I don't think it really might matter how she shows up, whether people are going to care enough about face or heel, especially if they're in front of the right crowd. She's going to get cheered no matter what, if they know who she is. It just, she has to make everybody else who's not familiar with her from NXT care, and that's really going to happen, I think, when she gets in the ring. Cause promo-wise, like, we got to see her on this episode of NXT, especially whenever she does the post-match interviews with people where she just talks about how she's still champion. But it's a very unique way. Like, she's very in your face. She's very, like, I am the best. Really, no matter which way we're looking at it, face, heel, blah, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that whole little promo time with her because it's like, I'll answer your question in three words. Or mm-hmm. I'll answer your question in five words. And I know there's a little language barrier, though, but it kind of makes it funny. And what I mean by funny is, it's like, your question is not important enough for me to talk about it very long.
Right. That's she had that air about her, too, right? That really helped send that point home.
Exactly. So they're actually doing something really smart with that, and I'm really happy about it. And I hope that carries on to the main roster. And I think you're right. I think that they got a plan in place. I don't think they would bring her up if they were just going to throw her to the ringer and squash her or 50-50 book her. I think they really want some firepower on Raw or SmackDown. I don't know if we're promised either or. But I think what is cool is we do have someone that's super talented that brings something new to the table. I don't care what brand you bring her on. She's brand new to this table of women superstars because, yes, there are really great wrestlers on both brands, but it's not Asuka's type of wrestling. It's not anything like they say. Like, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, great wrestler, but we've yet to see that guy that we know who he is. And you know, once they allow that, he's going to be someone that really is a lot different compared to a lot of the other WWE superstars. So I'm excited about Asuka. I think this is a great deal. Sadly, we're going to have to wait for that collarbone to heal. So we've got 6 to 8 weeks. We don't know, you know, when they're actually going to do it. If they may put it off a little longer, they may let her be, you know, healed, but you know, maybe pick that right time to, you know, introduce her. So I'm happy for it, right, Paul? I mean, this sucks. We're not going to get to talk about NXT anymore, but I'm super happy for Asuka.
Yeah, I mean, she absolutely deserves the opportunity. Came into NXT, they gave her the ball, and she just crushed it right out of the ballpark. And, you know, she had all the fanfare with her from Japan and everything like that. But, I mean, she's just proved herself to be a really great talent who could make the transition. And you know, on the flip side of that coin is Hideo Itami, right, who has kind of struggled at times. And obviously injuries haven't helped him, and there's a whole lot of other issues there. But I think it's – when you're looking at, I think, WWE's quote-unquote experimentation with bringing in Japanese superstars, Asuka so far definitely is a huge success story. And we're still sort of waiting for the verdict, I think, on Shin, and it seems like they kind of have their mind made up about Hideo. Like, either they're either just jobbing him out because they're going to let him go at the end of the contract, or they're building up something else with him and just trying to wait to rebuild him for the right moment, you know. So lots of different, you know, I guess lots of different stories here with WWE's, you know, rating of Japan, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, who knows who else they get, but right now, I mean, they are set, you know, and got some great Japanese superstars on the main roster. Hideo Itami still hanging around NXT, and they got more coming in, like Kari Hojo. Mm-hmm. So that it's, to me, really great stuff, and I'm really glad that they are dipping into Japan and other places around the world. This is really setting us up to have some great talent in NXT even more.
I completely agree with you.
So, all right. Well, I guess we are done with this episode of NXT. You know, I've not a ton, once again, on the main part of this show to talk about. I'm kind of glad we had this Asuka news to talk about. Otherwise, the show would probably be 15 minutes.
Right.
But this is what you get when you have the fallout from a big takeover show, right? So, lots of video packages, like Paul alluded to, and some other things in between. So, great stuff. Really happy to talk about it, though. I'm excited about seeing what we get in the new weeks of NXT, because, you know, we have the Asuka thing going down. We also get a chance to see what's going to happen with Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, you know, and Bobby Fish, those guys. And, of course, the rest of this whole thing that fell out of what happened over there at Brooklyn. Really excited about next week's show. But yeah, we of course want to let you guys know W2Mnet.com, the place to go find all our shows. Not only that, go rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Search out Wrestling to the Max and do that. And of course, if you love everything over there at the W2Mnet.com, W2M Network is the place you'll want to go. Subscribe, rate, and review. And thanks once again to 411mania.com, lastwordonsports.com, and all of you for joining us tonight. Until next time, I'm Gary Vaughn, he is Paul Leeser, and we will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.